8:96. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and saw that this signifies the light of the truths of faith, falsities being removed, which he acknowledged and in which he had faith, is evident from the signification of removing the covering as being to take away what obstructs the light. As by the ark is signified the man of the ancient church who was to be regenerated, by the covering nothing else can be signified than what obstructs or prevents a man from seeing heaven or the light. Knowledge. Like the Jews and those who attempt to destroy doctrinal things by specious reasoning, and that unbelievers may acknowledge, and in certain states preach, confirm, and persuade with zeal. But none can have faith who are not believers. Those who have faith know, acknowledge, and believe. They have charity, and they have conscience. And therefore faith can never be predicated of anyone. That is, it cannot be said that he has faith, unless these things are true of him. This then it is to be regenerate. Merely to know what is of faith is of a man's memory, without the concurrence of his reason. To acknowledge what is of faith is a rational consent, induced by certain causes and for the sake of certain ends. But to have faith is of conscience, that is, of the Lord working through conscience. This is abundantly evident from those who are in the other life. Those who know only are many of them in hell. Those who acknowledge are also many of them there, because their acknowledgement in the life of the body has been in certain states only, and when in the other life they perceive that what they had preached, taught, and persuaded others is true, they wonder greatly and acknowledge it only when it is recalled to their memory as to what they had preached. But those who have had faith are all in heaven. 8:97. In this place, the subject being the man of the ancient church when regenerated, by seeing is signified acknowledging and having faith. That seeing has this signification is evident from the word, as in Isaiah. Ye looked not unto the maker thereof, and the former thereof from afar ye have not seen. 22 verse 11. This treats of the city of Zion. Not to see the former from afar is not to acknowledge, still less to have faith. Again, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and smear over their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and their heart should understand, and turn again and be healed. 6, verse 10. To see with their eyes denotes acknowledging and having faith. Again, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. 9, verse 2. This is said of the Gentiles who received faith, as it is here said of Noah, that he removed the covering and saw. Again, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of thick darkness and out of darkness. 29, verse 18. This treats of the conversion of the Gentiles to faith. To see denotes to receive faith. Again, hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. 42, verse 18. Here the meaning is similar. In Ezekiel, who have eyes to see and see not, who have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. 12, verse 2. This means those who can understand, acknowledge and have faith, and yet will not. That to see signifies to have faith is evident from the representation of the Lord by the brazen serpent in the wilderness, on seeing which all were healed, as in Moses. Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a standard. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he seeth it, shall live. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked unto the serpent of brass, he lived. Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9. From this passage everyone can see that to see signifies faith. For what would seeing avail in this case, except as a representative of faith in the Lord? Hence also it is evident that Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, being so called from seeing, signifies in the internal sense faith. See what was said before about the firstborn of the church, number 352, 367. 898. And behold, the faces of the ground were dry. That this signifies regeneration is evident from the signification of ground as being the man of the church, which has been repeatedly shown above. The face of the ground is said to be dry when falsities no longer appear. 899. Verse 14. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dry. The second month signifies the whole state before regeneration. On the 27th day of the month signifies what is holy. Was the earth dry signifies that he was regenerate. These words are a conclusion to what goes before and a beginning to what follows. 900. In the second month. That this signifies the whole state before regeneration is evident from the signification of two in the word. Two signifies the same as six. That is, the combat and labor which precede regeneration. Thus here the whole state which precedes the completion of man's regeneration. Periods of time, great and small, are commonly distinguished in the word as threes or sevens, and are called days, weeks, months, years, or ages. Three and seven are holy. Two and six, which precede, are not holy, but are relatively profane, as before shown, number 720. Three and seven are both sacred, for the additional reason that they are predicated of the last judgment, which is to come on the third or on the seventh day. The last judgment comes to everyone when the Lord comes, both in general and in particular. For example, there was a last judgment when the Lord came into the world, and there will be a last judgment when he shall come in glory. There is a last judgment when he comes to any man in particular, and there is also a last judgment for everyone when he dies. This last judgment is what is meant by the third day and the seventh day, which is holy to those who have lived well, but not holy to those who have lived ill. Thus the third day or the seventh day is predicated as well of those who are adjudged to death, as of those who are adjudged to life. And therefore these numbers signify what is not holy to those who are adjudged to death, and what is holy to those who are adjudged to life. 2 and 6, preceding 3 and 7, have relation to and signify in general all that state which precedes. This is the signification of 2 and of 6 in application to any subject, and to any matter that is the subject of which they are predicated, as is more clearly evident from what now follows about the number 27. 901. That the 7th and 20th day signifies what is holy is evident from what has just been said, since it is composed of 3 multiplied by itself twice. 3 multiplied by itself is 9, and 9 multiplied again by 3 is 27. In 27, therefore, 3 is the ruling number. Thus did the most ancient people compute their numbers, and they understood by them nothing but actual things. That 3 has the same signification as 7 is evident from what has been just said. There is a hidden reason why the Lord rose on the 3rd day. The Lord's resurrection itself involves all holiness and the resurrection of all. And therefore in the Jewish church this number became representative, and in the word is holy, just as it is in heaven, where no numbers are thought of. But instead of 3 and 7, they have a general holy idea of the resurrection and of the coming of the Lord. That 3 and 7 signify what is holy is evident from the following passages in the word. In Moses, "He that toucheth the dead shall be unclean 7 days. The same shall expiate himself therefrom on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day he shall be clean. But if he expiate not himself on the 3rd day, on the 7th day he shall not be clean. He that toucheth one slain with a sword, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. The clean shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day. And on the 7th day he shall expiate him, and he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at even." Numbers 19, verses 11, 12, 16, and 19. That these things are representative, or that the outward things signify internal ones, is very evident, as that one would be unclean who had touched a dead body, one slain, a bone of a man, a grave. All these things signify in the internal sense things proper to man, which are dead and profane. So also the washing in water and being clean at even were representative, and also the 3rd day and the 7th day, which signify what is holy, because on those days he was to be purified and would thus be clean. In like manner concerning those who returned from battle against the Midianites. "Encamp ye without the camp 7 days. Whosoever hath slain a soul, and whosoever hath touched one slain, ye shall expiate yourselves on the 3rd day and on the 7th day." Numbers 31, verse 19. If this were but a ritual, and the 3rd day and the 7th were not representative and significative of holiness or of expiation, it would be a dead thing, like that which is without a cause, and like a cause without an end, or like a thing separated from its cause, and this cause from its end, and thus in no way divine. That the 3rd day was representative, and thus significative of what is holy, is very evident from the coming of the Lord upon Mount Sinai, for which it was thus commanded. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready against the third day. For on the third day Yahuwah will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Exodus 19, verses 10, 11, 14, and 15. For a similar reason, Joshua crossed the Jordan on the third day. Joshua commanded, Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to inherit the land. Joshua 1, verse 11, 3, verse 2. The crossing of the Jordan represented the introduction of the sons of Israel, that is, of those who are regenerate, into the kingdom of the Lord. Joshua, who led them in, represented the Lord, and this was done on the third day. Because the third day was holy, as was the seventh, it was ordained that the year of tithes should be the third year, and that then the people should show themselves holy by works of charity. Deuteronomy 26, verses 12 to 15. The tithes represented remains, which because they are of the Lord alone, are holy. That Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the fish. Jonah 1, verse 17. Manifestly represented the burial and resurrection of the Lord on the third day. Matthew 12, verse 40. That three signifies that holy thing is evident also in the prophets, as in Hosea. After 2 days will Yahuwah revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. 6, verse 2. Here also the third day plainly denotes the coming of the Lord and his resurrection. In Zechariah, It shall come to pass that in all the land two parts therein shall be cut off and expire, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. 13, verses 8 and 9. Here the third part, like three, denotes what is holy. The same is involved by the third part as by three, and also by the third part of the third part, as in the present passage. For three is the third of the third of 27. 902. That the earth's being dry signifies that the man was regenerate is evident from what was said before about the waters being dried up from off the earth and the face of the ground being dried. In verses 7 and 13. 903, verses 15 and 16. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth from the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And God spake unto Noah signifies the presence of the Lord with the man of this church. Go forth from the ark signifies freedom. Thou and thy wife signifies the church, and thy sons' wives with thee, signifies the truths and the goods conjoined with truths that were in him. 904. And God spake unto Noah, That this signifies the presence of the Lord with the man of this church is evident from the internal sense of the word. The Lord speaks with every man, for whatever a man wills and thinks that is good and true is from the Lord. There are with every man at least two evil spirits and two angels. The evil spirits excite his evils, and the angels inspire things that are good and true. Every good and true thing inspired by the angels is of the Lord. Thus the Lord is continually speaking with the man, but quite differently with one man than with another. With those who suffer themselves to be led away by evil spirits, the Lord speaks as if absent or from afar, so that it can scarcely be said that he is speaking. But with those who are being led by the Lord, he speaks as more nearly present, which may be sufficiently evident from the fact that no one can ever think anything good and true except from the Lord. The presence of the Lord is predicated according to the state of love towards the neighbor and of faith in which the man is. In love towards the neighbor, the Lord is present, because he is in all good, but not so much in faith, so-called, without love. Faith without love and charity is a separated or disjoined thing. Wherever there is a conjunction, there must be a conjoining medium, which is nothing but love and charity, as must be evident to all from the fact that the Lord is merciful to everyone, and loves everyone, and wills to make everyone happy to eternity. He, therefore, who is not in such love that he is merciful to others, loves them, and wills to make them happy, cannot be conjoined with the Lord, because he is unlike him, and not at all in his image. To look to the Lord by faith, as they say, and at the same time to hate the neighbor, is not only to stand afar off, but is also to have the abyss of hell between themselves and the Lord, into which they would fall if they should approach near. For hatred to the neighbor is that infernal abyss which is between. The presence of the Lord is first possible with a man when he loves the neighbor. The Lord is in love, and so far as a man is in love, so far the Lord is present. And so far as the Lord is present, so far he speaks with the man. Man knows no otherwise than that he thinks from himself. Whereas he has not a single idea of thought, nor even the least of an idea from himself. But he has what is evil and false through evil spirits from hell, and what is good and true through angels from the Lord. Such is the influx with man, from which is his life and the intercourse of his soul with the body. From these things it is evident what is meant by the words, God spake unto Noah. His saying to anyone means one thing, as Genesis 1, verse 29, 3, verses 13, 14, and 17, 4, verses 6, 9, and 15, 6, verse 13, 7, verse 1. And his speaking means another. Here his speaking to Noah denotes being present, because the subject is now the regenerated man who is gifted with charity. 905. Go forth from the ark. That this signifies freedom is evident from what has been said before and from the connection of the context. So long as Noah was in the ark and surrounded with the waters of the flood, the signification was that he was in captivity, that is, he was tossed about by evils and falsities, or what is the same thing, by evil spirits from whom is the combat of temptation. Hence it follows that to go forth from the ark signifies freedom. The presence of the Lord involves freedom, the one following the other. The more present the Lord, the more free the man. That is, the more a man is in the love of good and truth, the more freely he acts. Such is the influx of the Lord through the angels. But on the other hand, the influx of hell through evil spirits is forcible and impetuous, striving to dominate. For such spirits breathe nothing but the utter subjugation of the man, so that he may be nothing, and that they may be everything. And when they are everything, the man is one of them, and scarcely even that, for in their eyes he is a mere nobody. Therefore, when the Lord is liberating the man from their dominion and from their yoke, there arises a combat. But when the man has been liberated, that is, regenerated, he, through the ministry of angels, is led by the Lord so gently that there is nothing whatever of yoke or of dominion. For he is led by means of his delights and his happinesses, and is loved and esteemed. This is what the Lord teaches in Matthew. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. 11, verse 30. It is the reverse of a man's state when under the yoke of evil spirits, who, as just said, account the man as nothing, and if they were able, would torment him every moment. This it has been given me to know by much experience, concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter. 906. That thou and thy wife signifies the church is in like manner evident from the connection, as also that thy sons and thy sons' wives with thee signifies the truths and the goods conjoined with truths that were in him. That thou signifies the man of the church is evident, and that his wife signifies the church and his sons' truths and his sons' wives' goods conjoined with the truths, has been shown repeatedly before and need not be dwelt on here. 907, verse 17. Every wild animal that is with thee of all flesh, as to fowl and as to beast, and as to every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, bring forth with thee, that they may spread themselves over the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. Every wild animal that is with thee of all flesh signifies all that was made living in the man of this church. Fowl signifies here as before the things of his understanding. Beast, the things of his will, which are both of the internal man. Every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth signifies similar corresponding things in the external man. Bring forth with thee signifies their state of freedom. That they may spread themselves over the earth signifies the operation of the internal man upon the external. And be fruitful signifies increases of good. And multiply signifies increases of truth. Upon the earth signifies in the external man. 908. Every wild animal that is with thee of all flesh. That this signifies all that was made living in the man of this church is evident from the fact that wild animal is predicated of Noah, or of the man of this church now regenerated, and manifestly refers to what follows, namely, fowl, beast, and creeping thing. For it is said, every wild animal that is with thee of all flesh, as to fowl and as to beast, and as to every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The word in the original tongue, here rendered wild animal, signifies properly life or what is living. But in the word it is used both for what is living and for what is, as it were, not living, or a wild animal. So that unless one knows the internal sense of the word, he is sometimes unable to see what is meant. The reason of this twofold meaning is that the man of the most ancient church, in his humiliation before the Lord, acknowledged himself as not living, not even as a beast, but only as a wild animal. For those people knew man to be such when regarded in himself or in his proprium. Hence this same word means what is living, and also means wild animal. That it means what is living is evident in David. Thy wild animal shall dwell therein, that is, in God's inheritance. Thou, O God, wilt confirm the poor with thy good. Psalm 68, verse 10. Here by wild animal, because he shall dwell in the inheritance of God, no other is meant than the regenerated man. And so here, as in the verse we are considering, what is living in this man is meant. Again, every wild animal of the forest is mine, and the beasts upon the mountains where thousands are. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild animals of my field are with me. Psalm 1, verses 10 and 11. Here the wild animals of my field with me, or with God, denote the regenerated man, thus what is living in him. In Ezekiel, all the fowls of the heavens made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches all the wild animals of the field brought forth. 31, verse 6. Here the spiritual church is signified as implanted and what is living in the man of that church. In Hosea, in that day will I make a covenant for them with the wild animal of the field and with the fowl of the heavens. 2, verse 18. Here those who are to be regenerated are meant, with whom a covenant is to be made. Indeed, so fully does wild animal signify what is living, that the cherubim or angels seen by Ezekiel are called the four wild animals or living creatures. Ezekiel 1, verses 5, 13 to 15, and 19. 10, verse 15. That wild animal in the opposite sense is taken in the word for what is not living is evident from many passages, of which only the following will be cited for confirmation. In David, O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the wild animal. Psalm 74, verse 19. In Zephaniah, how is the city become a desolation, a place for wild animals to lie down in? 2, verse 15. In Ezekiel, and they shall no more be a prey to the nations, neither shall the wild animal of the earth eat them. 34, verse 28. Again, upon his ruin all the fowl of the heavens shall dwell, and every wild animal of the field shall be upon his branches. 31, verse 13. In Hosea, there will I consume them like a lion. The wild animal of the field shall tear them. 13, verse 8. In Ezekiel, I have given thee for meat to the wild animals of the earth, and to the fowl of the heaven. 29 verse 5. This expression often occurs. And since the Jews remained in the sense of the letter only, and understood by wild animal a wild animal, and by fowl a fowl, not knowing the interior things of the word, nor having any willingness to acknowledge them and so to be instructed, they were so cruel and such wild animals that they found their delight in not bearing enemies killed in battle, but exposing them to be devoured by birds of prey and wild beasts, which also shows what a wild animal man is. 909. That the fowl signifies the things of his understanding, and the beast the things of his will, which are of the internal man, and that every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth signifies like corresponding things in his external man, is evident from the signification of fowl as shown above. Number 40, 776, and of beast, number 45, 46, 142, 143, 246. That the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth signifies corresponding things in the external man is now evident. For the creeping thing here bears relation both to the fowl, or things of the understanding, and to the beast, or things of the will. The most ancient people called sensuous things and the pleasures of the body creeping things that creep, because they are just like creeping things that creep on the earth. They also likened man's body to the earth or ground, and even called it earth or ground, as in this passage, where nothing but the external man is signified by the earth. 9:11. As to the creeping thing that creeps, signifying similar corresponding things in the external man, the case is this. In the regenerated man, external things correspond to internal things, that is, do their bidding. External things are reduced to obedience when man is being regenerated, and he then becomes an image of heaven. But before man has been regenerated, external things rule over internal, and he is then an image of hell. Order consists in celestial things ruling over spiritual things, through these over natural things, and through these over corporeal things. But when corporeal and natural things rule over spiritual and celestial things, order is destroyed, and then the man is an image of hell. And therefore the Lord restores order by means of regeneration, and then the man becomes an image of heaven. Thus does the Lord draw a man out of hell, and thus uplifts him to heaven. A few words shall be said about the correspondence of the external man to the internal. Every regenerated man is a kind of little heaven, that is, he is an effigy or image of the universal heaven, and therefore in the word his internal man is called heaven. There is such order in heaven that the Lord rules spiritual things through celestial things, and natural things through spiritual things, and in this way he rules the universal heaven as one man, for which reason heaven is called the grand man. And there is the same order in everyone who is in heaven. Man too, in like this, is a little heaven, or what is the same, he is a kingdom of the Lord, because the kingdom of the Lord is in him. And then in him external things correspond to internal, that is, they obey him, just as they do in heaven. For in the heavens, which are three, and all of which together stand related as one man, spirits constitute the external man, angelic spirits the interior man, and angels the internal man. Number 459. It is the reverse with those who make life consist solely in corporeal things, that is, in lusts, pleasures, appetites, and matters of sense, perceiving no delight other than that which is of the love of self and of the world, that is to say, which is of hatred against all who do not favor and serve them. With such, because corporeal and natural things rule over spiritual and celestial things, there is not only no correspondence or obedience of external things, but the very reverse, and thus order is utterly destroyed. And because order is so destroyed, they cannot be other than images of hell. 9.12. Bring forth with thee. That this signifies their state of freedom is evident from what was said under the preceding verse about going forth from the ark as signifying freedom. 9.13. That they may spread themselves over the earth. That this signifies the operation of the internal man on the external, and that being fruitful signifies increases of good, multiplying increases of truth, and upon the earth in the external man, is evident from the connection of the things, and also from what has been before said and shown about the signification of being fruitful, which in the word is predicated of goods, and about that of multiplying, which is predicated of truths. That earth signifies the external man has likewise been shown before, so that we need not dwell longer on these significations in order to confirm them. Here the subject is the operation of the internal man on the external after the man has been regenerated, showing that good is for the first time made fruitful and truth multiplied, when the external man has been reduced to correspondence or obedience. This can never be so before, because what is corporeal opposes what is good, and what is sensuous opposes what is true, the one extinguishing the love of good, and the other extinguishing the love of truth. The fructification of good and the multiplication of truth take place in the external man, the fructification of good in his affections, and the multiplication of truth in his memory. The external man is here called the earth, over which they spread themselves, and upon which they become fruitful and multiply. 9:14, verse 18 and 19. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every wild animal, every creeping thing, and every fowl, everything that creepeth upon the earth, according to their families, went forth out of the ark. Went forth signifies that it was so done. By Noah and his sons is signified the man of the ancient church. By his wife and his sons' wives with him is signified that church itself. Every wild animal, every creeping thing, signify his goods. Wild animal, the goods of the internal man. Creeping thing, the goods of the external man. And every fowl, everything that creepeth upon the earth, signify truths. Fowl, the truths of the internal man, that creepeth upon the earth, the truths of the external man. According to their families, signifies pairs. went forth out of the ark, signifies as before that it was so done, and at the same time it signifies a state of freedom. 9:15. That by his going forth is signified that it was so done. That by Noah and his sons is signified the man of the ancient church. And that by his wife and his sons' wives is signified that church itself, is evident from the series of the things, which involves that the ancient church was formed in this way. For these are the last or closing statements to what has gone before. When the church is described in the word, it is described either by man, vir, and wife, or by man, homo, and wife. When by man, vir, and wife, by man is signified what belongs to the understanding, or truth, and by wife, what belongs to the will, or good. When by man, homo, and wife, by man is signified the good of love, or love. And by wife, the truth of faith, or faith. Thus by man homo is signified the essential of the church, and by wife, the church itself. It is so throughout the word. In this place, because up to this point the formation of a new church has been treated of on the perishing of the most ancient church, by Noah and his sons is signified the man, homo, of the ancient church, and by his wife and his sons' wives with him, that church itself. Here, therefore, they are named in an order different from that in the preceding verse, 16, where it is said, Go forth from the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Where thou and thy wife are joined together, and thy sons' wives. And thus by thou and sons is signified truth, and by wife and sons' wives good. But in the verse we are now considering, the order is different, for the reason, as we have said, that by thou and thy sons is signified the man of the church, and by his wife and his sons' wives, the church itself, since it is the conclusion to what goes before. Noah did not constitute the ancient church, but his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, as said before. For three churches, so to speak, formed this ancient church, concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter. And these churches came forth as the offspring of one, which is called Noah. Hence it is here said, Thou and thy sons, and also thy wife and thy sons' wives. 9:16. That every wild animal and every creeping thing signify the goods of the man of the church. Wild animal, the goods of the internal man, creeping thing, those of the external man, and that every fowl and everything that creepeth upon the earth signify truths, fowl, the truths of the internal man, and thing that creepeth upon the earth, those of the external man, is evident from what was said and shown under the preceding verse in regard to wild animal, fowl, and creeping thing. Where it is said, creeping thing that creepeth, because both good and truth of the external man were signified. Inasmuch as what is here said is the conclusion to what goes before, these things that pertain to the church are added, namely, its goods and truths, and by them is indicated the quality of the church, that it is spiritual, and that it became such that charity or good was the chief thing. And therefore wild animal and creeping thing are here first mentioned, and afterwards fowl and thing that creepeth. The church is called spiritual when it acts from charity, or from the good of charity, never when it says that it has faith without charity, for then it is not even a church. For what is the doctrine of faith without the doctrine of charity? And to what purpose is the doctrine of faith but that men should become as it teaches? It cannot be merely to know and think what it teaches, but to become what it teaches. The spiritual church is therefore first called a church when it acts from charity, which is the very doctrine of faith. Or, what is the same thing, the man of the church is then first a church. Just in the same way, what is the commandment for? Not that a man may know, but that he may live according to the commandment. For then he has in himself the kingdom of the Lord, since the kingdom of the Lord consists solely in mutual love and its happiness. Those who separate faith from charity and make salvation consist in faith without the good works of charity are Cainites who slay the brother Abel, that is, charity. And they are like birds which hover about a carcass. For such faith is a bird, and a man without charity is a carcass. Thus they also form for themselves a spurious conscience, so that they may live like devils, hold the neighbor in hatred and persecute him, pass their whole life in adulteries, and yet be saved, as is well known in the Christian world. What can be more agreeable to a man than to hear and be persuaded that he may be saved, even if he live like a wild beast? The very Gentiles perceive that this is false, many of whom abhor the doctrine of Christians because they see their life. The real quality of such a faith is evident also from the fact that nowhere is there found a life more detestable than in the Christian world. 9:17. According to their families. That this signifies pairs is evident from what was said before, namely, that there entered into the ark of the clean by sevens and of the unclean by twos. 7 verses 2, 3, and 15. While here it is said that they went out of it according to their families, the reason of which is that all things had now been so reduced into order by the Lord that they could represent families. In the regenerated man, goods and truths, or the things of charity and faith, are related to each other as with relationships by blood and by marriage, thus as families from one stock or parent, in like manner as they are in heaven. Number 685, an order into which goods and truths are brought by the Lord. Specifically, it is here signified that all goods both in general and in particular have regard to their own truths, as though these were conjoined with them in marriage. And just as in general charity regards faith, so in every particular good regards truth. For the general, unless it exists from the particular, is not the general, seeing that it is from the particulars that the general has its existence, and from them is called general. So in every man, such as is the man in general, such is he in the minutest particulars of his affection and of his idea. Of these he is composed, or of these he becomes such as he is in general. And therefore those who have been regenerated become such in the smallest particulars as they are in general. 9:18. Went forth out of the ark. That this involves also a state of freedom is evident from what was said above at verse 16 about going out of the ark. The quality of the freedom of the spiritual man appears from the consideration that he is ruled by the Lord through conscience. He who is ruled by conscience or who acts according to conscience acts freely. Nothing is more repugnant to him than to act against conscience. To act against conscience is hell to him, but to act according to conscience is heaven to him. And from this anyone may see that acting according to conscience is freedom. The Lord rules the spiritual man through a conscience of what is good and true. And this conscience is formed, as already said, in man's understanding, and is thus separated from what is of his will. And because it is wholly separated from what is of the will, it is very evident that man never does anything good of himself. And since all the truth of faith is from the good of faith, it is evident that man never thinks anything true from himself, but that this is from the Lord alone. That he seems to do these things from himself is only an appearance. And because it is so, the really spiritual man acknowledges and believes it. From this it is evident that conscience given to the spiritual man by the Lord is, as it were, a new will, and thus that the man who has been created anew is endowed with a new will, and from this with a new understanding.